This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That's Paul Bissonnette on Spittin' Chiclets talking about Brad Marchand, the finances, the negotiation that went right down to the wire, apparently, basically, including in-person meetings with the guy he dubs, Brad Marchand's words, the best general manager in hockey, Don Sweeney. And if you run those numbers, $6.3 million, the old ceremonial hockey contract, that's your jersey number, and then $7.5 million that he wants, split the difference. So that's 1.2 million divided 600,000, 6.9 million he would have signed
nice.
For.
Nice.
Right? Mm-hmm. I was told there'd be no math, but I nailed the hell out of it here. Is that ridiculous? I actually do think Bissonnette's right.
Really?
I think the number, the issue here is, I think Marchand probably would have been more likely to sign a lower deal before what occurred last offseason when they gave Lindholm a boatload of money, Zadorov a boatload of money. And maybe I'm speculating here and sort of putting myself in that position, but I could see myself saying, oh, Swayman, Pasta, McAvoy, those are our guys. Those are my guys, kind of. Right? I've helped mentor those guys. I'm okay that they just got theirs later in the evolution of their careers. Wait, now you're bringing in all these free agents, and then you're coming to me and asking me to take less than market value when you just signed this Lindholm guy who, quite honestly, is not earning his money, Zadorov, not earning his money, and yet that's somehow taking away from my money? I get to take a team-friendly hometown discount? Pound sand, buddy.
Ugh,
screw.
I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it.
Okay.
I wouldn't like it at all.
Well, then you're not going to get a good contract then because you're 36 years old. If you're playing the role of Brad Marchand,
yeah.
Elias Lindholm is 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a big difference. Six years.
But he's not a Bruin for life.
Okay, that's...
Didn't have a C on his chest.
Okay, that to me is, if that's what it's all about, and it's just about paying guys because they've been here their whole career, and they're Bruins, and they're captains, you don't pay for past performances. If you want to field a good team and efficiently, you don't pay guys based on their previous production. You pay them with their age and what you think they're going to be worth going forward.
Who's better right now, Lindholm or Marchand?
It's Marchand, but that's not the point. It's okay. Going to be who's better next year, in the year after, in the year after.
Based on what I've seen from Lindholm, I have some serious doubts that he's ever going to.
Well, then it's a bad contract.
It is.
But I don't think you do one bad contract followed up by another bad contract. You know what I mean? I don't think if Brad Marchand's using Elias Lindholm's contract as a comp, that doesn't make any sense when there's a 6 year age difference.
So. I put in the email, in our email chain, I said, sort of reacting to this speculation, Team Marchand. If this speculation that we're sort of having is true, I'm on Brad. So you'd
think,
be on Team
Brad,
Bruins.
You think Brad Marchand's worth $7 million for the next 3 years? You think he's a
sure.
$21 million guy?
Sure. He's
okay.
The captain. He's you're paying for
Has he been a good captain in your opinion?
No. No.
Okay, well, then what's
no,
what
but
are we
he's
doing
your
here?
Captain. You made him the captain. You gave
that,
him that
That doesn't
seat.
Mean you go, you know what? He was a captain. He's a bad captain. So let's pay the bad captain what he wants.
I also don't know if they think he's a bad captain. Just because I think he's a bad captain doesn't mean Don Sweeney, the guy he's crying about, thinks he's a bad captain. Or whoever the coach is going to be next year thinks he's a bad captain. I mean, some of what I think, I thought it was embarrassing the way he handled, honestly, our guy Rich Keefe in that situation. I thought it was really poor the way he handled that, but maybe in that dressing room, maybe they think it. Fitzy, is Marchand a good captain?
His teammates love him. So yeah, as far as I know, he's a good captain in and amongst the ranks of the Bruins. I'm with Ted. I wouldn't have gone over some sort of crazy amount of money. Like, aren't those the kind of contracts that end up hamstringing you in the long run?
$600,000 for Brad Marchand? What is this? The Red Sox going to arbitration with Jaron Duran?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in hundreds of thousands. Like, if this is true, again, we are basing this on reported information, $7.5 million a year down to $6.3 million. He would have split the difference. They said no.
Okay, I'm confused. So you were mad that they traded Marchand. You didn't want them to get rid of Marchand. You would have been fine if they said the other day, you know what, we're not trading Marchand. We're giving him a new three-year deal. He's going to be a Bruin for the rest of his life.
Yes.
You would have been fine with that.
Yes. That I said.
See, that's where you and I.
Weeks.
That's where I disagree. That's
I thought
where,
you had
I,
to.
I was happy with them getting rid of him for a second rounder. You were like, that's not enough. I was like, he needs to go. They got to get rid of the old guard. He's part of the old guard. He's the last player of the old guard. They need to purge every one of those guys out of there and start fresh. If you keep him here, it's still like hanging on to the old days. It doesn't make any sense. So we disagree on him. Period, having a role here. I don't think he should have a role here anymore. I think they should move on with him so that they kind of leave the past behind them and just look forward.
Yeah, I wanted a resolution. That was for 2 or 3 weeks, Dan Ball, I talked about it. Give me a resolution. Either sign him to a three-year extension or send him packing.
Dan, what were your thoughts on that?
Which part specifically?
Did you want Brad Marchand to sign an extension, or did you want him traded for more assets?
Now, once I started to realize what this season was going to be for the Boston Bruins, I wanted the trade. I thought you could get, and then once we started to see the Frederick deal come in and the Coyle deal come in and the way that it was a seller's market, I thought it was a no-brainer that you make that move, and then you have that conversation in the offseason. Just also for what it's worth, the two numbers that Biz mentioned, for a 37-year-old that has 47 points in 61 games this year, both are an overpay.
Both are an overpay.
Both are an overpay.
6.3 is an overpay as well as...
Mm-hmm. Easily.
It's not only an overplay for what the player is becoming, which is, again, it's a guy that's smaller. He's got a lot of hard miles on those legs.
Absolutely.
So I don't see those numbers going up anytime soon. So it's an overpay from that. And it doesn't help him or the Bruins accomplish the ultimate goal, which is getting him one more championship. He can't make $6.3 million and have Lindholm and Zadorov and McAvoy and Pasternak and have a chance with this roster to win a cup. So I didn't like either one of the numbers.
That shouldn't be their number one motivation. That right there is screwy thinking, man.
I also think that Marchand would say, I'm fine not having Lindholm. He's useless to this team. I'm fine not having Zadorov. He gives the other team the puck in the front of the net to lose
but that's
games.
Not reality. Those guys are unmovable at this point.
You can't move them.
No, I know, but he's basically... And I would look at it similarly, like, if you're going to waste money on anyone, waste it on me. I'm still producing, even if you think it's a slight overpay. It's a gross overpay what you're giving Lindholm.
But they've already wasted money on these other guys. Why would they waste more on you?
They didn't, and that's why they moved on.
You can't undo those deals now, though.
You can't. So how can Marchand be
So mad? Marchand's supposed to look at it from a Bruins perspective. That's what he was asked to do, basically. Right? Is that what? And you're asking me to also just look at it from a Bruins perspective, where I'm saying
I'm looking at it from a Marchand. Marchand to think he's worth $6.3 million a year for the next 3 years is ridiculous.
Okay, so but when he compares it to Lindholm, who's making $775 million?
Dude, you can do that on every team. There's a ton of players that are probably pissed for what they're making based on what other guys are making that are underperforming. That happens on every team
Absolutely.
In every sport.
And that's why we had this offseason. Who was the person that was questioning paying, excuse me, Patriots paying somebody more than somebody? Like, you can't make X the highest paid.
Yeah, we're talking about T. Higgins and the wide receiver.
Yeah.
You can't bring in a wide receiver that makes the most money on the team. What are you talking about? You can't.
Well,
yes, you can.
And to some degree, there's a dated aspect to that. It's like Milton Williams is the highest paid Patriot ever. It doesn't mean he's the best Patriot ever. It just means when the cap exploded, he was a free agent, and they had cap space, and they wanted him. And Caroline wanted him, too, so they overpaid, whatever. That's how you play free agency. Or the quarterbacks in the NFL. The highest paid quarterback is never the best quarterback because Patrick Mahomes hasn't been the highest paid quarterback for a while.
So you agree with me then?
I don't know what I'm agreeing with, okay. So don't hold me to that in court. No, I can absolutely see the argument of Brad Marchand. When he looks around that dressing room and says, you paid that bum, and you paid that bum, and you won't pay this aging, still pretty good, maybe not quite worth it player. That would be my mentality, and that's why I, like him, would be crying in Florida, probably.
Perfectly reasonable. Sorry, Fitzy, go ahead.
No, there are valid points on both sides. Brad Marchand should be disappointed that money was handed out and that there's not enough to go around for him, or that they don't want to move off the number they have deemed or determined him worth at this point. But you can't undo, like, you can't go back and just undo these contracts or just say, like, well, you're right. We started handing out bad contracts, so let's continue the tradition just to appease an aging veteran who's been a cornerstone of the franchise for the last decade and a half.
16 years, yeah.
Which also is interesting. So my argument, if I'm making the Marchand argument, is basically Sweeney signed two bad contracts, and then he balls his eyes out and says that Sweeney's the best general manager in hockey. So that's a little bit hard to kind of pull together and rationalize, too.
Look, I don't understand the Marchand comments. I don't. I mean, look, he's whatever. You know, I mean, based on, he doesn't have a good track record with signing. He's made some good trades. He can't draft. He's sat a lot of contracts that he's gotten in that have been, you know, basically after a year, terrible deals. Mm-hmm. Swayman might be one as of right now. That might turn out to be better. There's a lot of contracts like that. Zadorov is another one.
Oh, yeah.
There's a million of them in the past too. That don't come to mind, but that I know for a fact. Like for him to say that, I think it's ridiculous.
Do you think he was just caught up in the emotion? Like in a weird. Sometimes you start talking and it is emotional, and you.
Well, he's not going to throw Sweeney. You know, what do you want him to do? Get up there and throw Sweeney under the bus? And he's not going to do that because he doesn't want to burn the bridge, Andy.
Yeah, he might
because. He's coming back.
I like where you're at, Stiz. Welcome to the bandwagon. Stiz, you also said you had some good Marchand audio talking maybe about missed opportunities from his time in Boston here.
We maxed that out. You know, we had our opportunity a couple years ago and it fell short. You know, we definitely dropped the ball on that one. That was our year, and they went all in years leading up to that and that season. And, you know, when you look at an opportunity like that, it doesn't come along very often, and they did everything they could to put us in a position to succeed, and ultimately it was all the players. We didn't do our jobs and didn't come through when we had to.
So that was Brad Marchand talking about those missed opportunities, which are certainly a part of his history, the Bruins' history, Sweeney's history. We had an interesting wording via the text line. Maybe not necessarily a bad captain, but the wrong captain.
Fine.
Is that a
that's fine
fair assessment?
Yeah, it's probably me saying bad is probably not a fair word to use. It's probably maybe not the best. Maybe not the best.
And
not the best captain.
And he was put in, I would argue also, it's a tough situation. We've talked about this year being weird from the get-go with the Swayman contract and then the Montgomery lame duck status. Probably not the easiest. And then you're underperforming and losing and everybody's bitching and moaning and Christian Arkan saying the season's over in week one.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the easiest position to put a captain in, right?
Yeah, but not every captain is going to be put in the most perfect, you know, situation. I mean,
but he had seen it for so long, right? I mean, they had been a, you know, we're going to win the President's Trophy. We're going to be a one seed, a two seed. We're going to the playoffs. We won't face tough
I think
times.
At the beginning of the season, I mean, you had your old coach here. You had Swayman in goal. You had two big free agent pickups in the offseason. At the time when the season started and when he was named captain, it probably looked pretty good to him. So I don't know, to say that he wasn't put in a good situation, you didn't know that to start. We thought the Bruins were going to have a pretty good season based on those things.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people did. A lot of people thought they were a
cup contender.
And then
the season's got going, and it turned out to be, you know, not so great. Is that, you know, I mean, did the team ever have a time in the season where they looked like they were maybe, you know, catching fire? Maybe right after the Montgomery firing, they kind of, you know, they had a good little run there, but at the same time, it was a really, to say it was put, what happened this season, it wasn't fair to Brad Marchand, I think is unfair to say.
Ted, I wanted to ask you sort of back to the captaincy thing. You're the only one of the five of us that's been on a professional sports team and at length at that. So in your estimation, what does make for a good captain?
I'll be honest with you, Fitzy, and the hockey culture and how captains work in there is so different. I don't know. Like, I mean, I can tell you what a captain on a football team, it might not be. There's several captains on a football team.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a captain on a football team. It's very different than, I think, being the captain on a hockey team. I don't know what the roles are, what the expectations are, but you basically, I think, have to be the emotional leader of the team. I think you're expected, my guess is to get guys focused and going and get them snap out of it if they're not playing well. Individually, you got to make sure each guy is focused and doing their job. I think being a captain of a hockey team, to me, is a difficult, difficult job. That's what I'm imagining. But I don't know. I think the roles of a captain in hockey are very different from a role of a captain in a football team. That's just my guess.
So we're focusing on the past captain. One thing we've touched on a little bit here is who's the future of the leadership of the Boston Bruins, assuming our little fun narrative of Marchand coming back doesn't actually come to fruition. And Brad Marchand was actually asked about the future leadership of the team.
Ways they can lead, and but, you know, they've been around, they've seen it, and, you know, the way that Z and Bergy have built that culture and what's expected every single day, so complete faith in those guys to carry on that culture and legacy and continue to add to it, not just carry it, but, you got to leave it better than you found it, and that's one thing that I, especially with the term those guys are on and how young they are, I think they have a great opportunity ahead of them to kind of carve their own path and build a legacy that they're excited about and lead the way that they want to. That's what Z did when he came in, is he had an idea of how he wanted to lead and how he wanted to change things, and he put it in motion. And then Bergy came in, and the two of them just took over and did their thing. So those guys have that opportunity to do the same thing now.
That's Brad Marchand talking about, obviously, David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy.
They didn't say those names.
No, but that's who he was talking about.
How do you know?
Oh, Stiz, didn't you say that's who he was talking about?
Yeah, the caption from WEI's own Scott McLaughlin is Marchand on Pastrnak and
McAvoy. I never heard their names. I didn't know. So,
yeah, no, he didn't say
I cut out the question.
Yeah. Okay, the question was specifically about those two guys?
Those two guys.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those maybe sharing the mantle, being the leadership. And it's a forward and a defenseman can maybe split that up a little bit and do it the way Chara and Bergeron did. So maybe that is the future of the Boston Bruins. Or maybe it'll be the past becomes the future again, and we'll have Brad Marchand back here in Boston. We do have one phone call we need to squeeze in. Apparently, we're taking calls on funny ring stories or championship ring stories today. Who knew there were so many ring stories out there? But we go to a unique name. Fitzy in Brockton has a ring story. What's up?
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fitzy?
Hey, thanks a lot. I wouldn't exactly call it funny, but back in 05, I was on leave from Iraq, and I have a friend that full-time employee of the Red Sox. So he says, come on down. I got a hookup for you for a game while you're home. I go down there. He's walked me around the stadium. I walk by Dwight Evans up by the luxury boxes. Hey, Dewey, how's it going? Great, how you doing? He's like, hey, he's very engaging with me, and he's talking to me. Back then, Dwight and Louis Tiant were employees of the Sox, so apparently those guys got rings. Dwight says, hey, you want to hang around with me? My friend goes, hey, go ahead and hang around with Dewey. Dewey takes me into one of those luxury boxes where he's doing meet and greets with the people that buy those luxury boxes, gives me his championship ring, and then he takes off. He says, I'll be back in a little while. I got to go to the other luxury boxes. And he leaves me there with the ring.
Ah.
And now almost 45 minutes goes by. I want to go down and sit in my seats now behind home plate, but I'm stuck because I got Dwight Evans' ring, the 04 championship ring on my finger.
Wow, that's a great story.
That's a great story.
It was.
Hey, John, thank you. That was. I mean, it's, you know,
that's
the guy's trying
story.
To get.
Also, no one thanked him for his service. Come on.
Oh, thank you
can't
for your
great story a veteran.
Hey,
come
thank
on.
You.
Having
fun.
I would also say that.
Good point, Fitzy.
It's a commentary on his trustworthiness or whatever that clearly Dewey felt quite comfortable.
Obviously.
Leaving
but
his ring.
The guy was like, you know, I'd like to go sit at my better seats down there.
I want to go
can
now.
You hurry up
can I don't actually work here. Can I
don't
I want
to give this ring to somebody and say, hey, can you hold this for Dwight Evans when he comes back?
Next phone call, and you're never going to believe this. So the last phone call was Fitzy. The next phone call is Andy in Hudson, and he wants to talk about Marchand and Bergeron and the whole captaincy talk here. What's up, Andy?
Not much, guys. Ted, great career. But I'm just a little confused about why you thought Brad wasn't a good captain. Because to me, Bergeron, a stellar person, player. What I loved about Bergeron is he always gave you a solid hit. He's never a dirty player. But he wasn't really vocal. I didn't see much at all. And I like that about Marchand because he did chirp a little. I always get upset when the coaches don't work the refs because I think that's part of the game nowadays. And I just wasn't sure exactly what it was because, I mean, Marchand with his play, with the penalty kill, the power play, he was on pace for almost 30 goals this year. But I just wasn't sure what you thought. You know, if there was a single thing you thought about why you didn't feel he was a good captain.
You know what, Andy? And
Thanks for the call, Andy.
I probably a little over my skis with the hockey fans, but just I guess basically it was a bad season. They're not going to make the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. So if I'm looking at pie, the blame, you know, blame pie, I'm probably going to put maybe a little bit on the captain of the team that isn't making it to the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. Fair or not fair? And I'll say part of it was the Rich Keefe stuff. Just a bad look. It just didn't make sense. To me, that was your energies were better focused somewhere else. And so for me to say a bad captain probably was too much. Maybe not the best captain. Maybe a good captain, but when you compare him to Chara or Bergeron, I'm not so sure he was up to that level. And I think that's the best way to put it.
Dan.
Real quick, just because I know we got to go to break. I can't speak to this near the level of athleticism that Ted can, but I grew up in hockey locker rooms. I played for captains. I was a captain myself in high school.
Brag.
The one
Brag.
Thing, but I just want to give some context into what Ted's Underpants. Talking about. The one thing that I think that they're missing is the Bergeron Chara leader by example. I just think the leadership group of the Bruins as a whole was incomplete this year. Because the best thing about Marchand, when he was going around chirping and being a rat and whatever else, there was also the steadying force of a Bergeron and a Chara. Right. And I think that extends both on the ice and in the locker room. So I just don't think there was that next guy that matched Marchand's energy with the calm, lead-by-example kind of style. And it was just a bit incomplete, and that put Marchand in a bad situation.
I think that's fair. I think that's very much fair. 617-779-7937. We are taking calls on rings, apparently. But more importantly, up next, we're going to talk about the Boston Red Sox, a team that we hope will be competing for a ring later in the year. Their chances may have improved thanks to some misfortune by their rival Yankees. And also, we'll get an update on everything that's been going on in spring training, because quite honestly, between Brad Marchand trades and free agency, we've kind of been a little lacking on our Red Sox chatter here on WEEI Afternoons. That's up next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.